But what we got to do is we got to have soldiers. I've got a good group of fellows here. The way Brother Rod feels, what he said, is how I feel about them. I see the wrong with them, because I'm the daddy that wants the house perfect and all that. But they're good soldiers. Any chip falls, they'll do anything I ask them to. And y'all have seen it. If I move one direction, they lean that way, ready to go, including the wives and kids. And that's unusual for y'all to watch that. Y'all are not used to that. That's just because you haven't been dead yet. You haven't been on the line yet. You haven't had to have somebody stand up for you in the situation serious enough yet. But it'll come, and you'll be blessed. Now, standing behind me is a couple of good soldiers. They're a couple of boys I hand-raised myself. Brother Jason's from St. Louis. Brother Sean is from Baton Rouge. And these boys, we've been together a long time. I don't know how much. How long? 17. Your whole life, right? His daddy came and worked with me and was killed in Guatemala, and he's been with me ever since. Brother Sean came down a little boy. And I'm a blessed man, y'all. I'm a blessed man. And there's a whole bunch. I've quit letting people come to our work. And I don't allow very many people come anymore. Because the interest is not for Indians. It's always these personal seeker people looking for their personal goal. What gratifies them, what the Shekinah presence of God. They want to see a physical manifestation of God. They don't see 7 million Indians living in 100 square miles that are going to hell. I have seen the Shekinah glory, I've seen dead raised, and I am a blessed man. But I don't see the misery, the hardship, I don't see none of those things. I see the people. That's what I see. The difference in us, we are the same except for one issue. I don't see the beans and rice every day and the bumpy roads and the mud and the bullets and the those. That's not what I see. I see people that don't know Jesus. That's what I see. And I got to figure out a way to get them. That's all I see. Nothing else. And your comments and your opinions and your frailties and your, I got to take my kid to soccer ball. I don't get it. So that's our problem. Okay? See how simple life is? And we're trying to make the connection. I'm trying to help. We're gonna make it somehow. These boys here, these men here. Are going to say a few things here. Who's got the microphone? Get up there and help yourself. All right, now you got I took 3 of your minutes.
Right. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I want to start in a place over here, Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 26. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse 26. You know, there's a big change taking place in the American church. They're swinging away from foreign missions, going more introverted and so forth. And I've been at this a long time now, my whole life, soon be 30 years that I've been in Mexico living. And there's been lots of changes take place, and there's been 7 or 8, I just call them waves. Things that come up here and all of a sudden y'all are doing something new, and it includes us. And we don't get told about it. And we're expected to just be all right with it. But let me just tell you up front, I'm not all right with you changing from winning souls and casting out devils and healing the sick and raising the dead. I'm not all right with that. I'm not all right with you, because see, I was told that there is a government law in France to make sure in the next decade that between men and women there is no difference, and that you can't tell the difference between male or female in France. It's headed to the United States of America. It's headed to the church. One of these days, you're going to have to put your foot down and make a stand. I don't know how far you're willing to slide. I don't know what else you're willing to give up. I don't know how much more you want to compromise. But I know that we're going to have to distinguish between the sacred and the secular. We're going to have to be a people that stand up for the Holy Ghost. God is real. He's never changed and He never will. He is holy. He is worthy. He is righteous. He will let us walk in His power. It don't make any difference what you believe about what I say. You're wrong. And I can prove it. I can prove it. I can raise the dead and you can't. And that's a big difference. We've got to fix that. It shouldn't be one man and one group of people. It should be the church should be renowned for the power of God. It should be the church. The church, not a group of specific people. It should be the church is renowned for the power of God. The Bible says in verse 26 of Ezekiel 22, her priests have done violence to my law and have profaned her, my holy things. They have made no distinction between. I'm telling you, I'm making a distinction between the sacred and the secular. And heaven will back me. It's just a matter of time. All you got to do is have patience. God will back His word. Whether you're in the timing or out of the timing, that is not even relevant. We're always worried about timing. And that is a good thing, but it's so hard to get a hold of. It really is. It's not impossible. I've been in the timing of God and destiny many times, and it's awesome. But I can't say to you every step of my life that I am in God's timing every minute of my life. You can't either. You can't prove it to me that you are. But I can prove to you, because it's written, that this word will be the same in the morning as it is right now. It was the same yesterday, and I'm going to tell you the Bible says it'll be that way forever. So I'm looking for some gap standers, some wall builders, not building up walls against anyone. What we're building walls for is to fight the devil, not to hurt humans or to destroy anybody's ideas or anything else. That's not the point. The point is, stand for God. That's all. You can turn the page over there. It starts right off in chapter 24 and verse 24. I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. I'll tell you, I can't get over that. I'll be a while getting over this. Probably won't ever. And then we go on down through there in Ezekiel 29 and verse 16. And they shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord who demands loyalty and obedient service. That's the second thing. The third thing is over here in Ezekiel 32 and verse 15. I am the sovereign Lord. And I want you to understand, realize, and know the sovereign ruler who requires and calls forth loyalty and obedient service. I am so into this. I just am so blessed, y'all. There's so many things coming about in the Holy Ghost that in my lifetime, it looks like I'm going to get to see them. And if God lets me, I'll be happy about it. And if he don't, I'll still be happy about it. Now, turn over here to Isaiah 59, and let's read that thing real quick at verse 19. That's it. Isaiah 59 in the Amplified, verse 19. So as the result of the Messiah's intervention, I am thankful and grateful for the Messiah's intervention in my life, personally. I'll tell you, I was a mess. I was a problem, and it wasn't getting better. It was getting worse. I was on my way to the grave, because I wasn't going to accept anything else. I was in trouble, and gun-toting problem I was. And heaven intervened. The Messiah intervened in my life. I'm telling you, he cared for me, and he changed me. And because of it, as a result of the Messiah's intervention, they'll reverently fear the name of the Lord from the west. And His glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy comes in like a flood. So I didn't know that because of the Messiah's intervention in my life, that the enemy was going to rush in on me. I did not know that. I had no idea. I was so blessed. You can ask my wife. I was changed in the twinkle of an eye. I mean, God changed me right now. There wasn't no progressive nothing. I was changed. The Messiah intervened in my life. And I was changed. And I learned how. But I didn't know that because of being a target or being a prey, because of worshiping Jesus, because of being excited about God all the time, and not being up and down, backsliding every now and then, always having to have somebody, you know, prop you up and pep you up. And I don't understand those kind of lives. I'm sorry. I'm blessed that I get up in the morning. My wife can tell you, when these eyeballs, when my shutters open, my motors are 100% instant. There ain't no waking up. I'm up. Is that true or not, Miss Hogan? I'm serious. And, you know, we just go for it, see? And I didn't know that kind of a life, I had no idea, that it would make you a target. But you see, because of the intervention, when the devil comes in, the Spirit of God will lift up a standard against him and put him to flight. For he will come like a rushing stream. Thank you, great Holy Ghost. He will come like a... like a rushing stream, which the breath of the Lord drives. I tell you, heaven blows by you. One of our pastor's sons was dying with a brain tumor in a conference we had. His mama was holding him right down in front of me, or all of us actually. There was 1,000 people there. And she was just weeping, looking at me. She's one of my favorite people. She's gifted beyond. I've never met a woman as gifted as her, ever, anywhere. And she's with the Holy Ghost. And she was holding that boy, and the Holy Ghost hit me on the way by and went and healed him. And God's rushing stream driven by the breath of the Lord. See, the Messiah's intervention brings the rushing stream of the Holy Ghost, and it's driven by Father God. And He loves doing that to us. See, I don't know where it came from. You know more scripture than I do. It's guaranteed on having the gifts of God and all the things and the great blessings and the promises. Y'all know more than I do. But I know that the Messiah intervened in my life. And I know that the devil comes because of it. And I know that the Spirit of God says, a river blows by me. And then I look around and God's up there. Seeing to it that it's driven in the right places, in the right direction. And He tells me in verse 1 of 60, arise from the depression and frustration and the circumstances that have kept you. I tell you, you don't have to live in the circumstances of hell. Let me just tell you something. It's not God's fault. It's not the pastoral staff here. It's not the elders here fault. It's your choice. You live in it, it's because you want to live in it. God has provided the way out through the Messiah's intervention. God has provided through the Holy Ghost the rushing stream of God to blow past you, to consume you, to envelop you, and it's directed by the breath of heaven. And it's our choice to rise up out of the circumstances, and I choose to have new life, like it says. Rise to a new life and shine, be radiant with the glory of God. See, that's, even though I am highly controversial everywhere, it's all right. There's one thing we can't agree on. I've got the Holy Ghost. I have got the glory of God on me. Last night I was sitting over here trying to pray for people. The Holy Ghost just hit me. I don't know how he hit me, but he hit me. I flipped all over. I got bruises on me from falling over these steps and stuff. Those fellows were trying to catch me and everything else. There wasn't no doubt in me. I tell you, it was, I like it. I like it. I like it being possessed by the Holy Ghost. I like it being full of the glory of God. I like it being radiant. I like it. Look, I was out to the French Quarter the other day, and I was walking down through there. And I'm just normal like everybody else down there. I got a shirt and breeches on like everybody else down there. And well, some of them don't, but I did. And I was walking down there. And I'm telling you, how many devils came out to check us out? That many. This is where you want to cut the light off a little while. But see, you can't. You just can't help it because you're shining, man. The devil hates you because you're shining. You are radiant with the glory of God. Now I want you to act like it. Now we are chosen people of the Holy Ghost. I'm serious, we are. That's who we are. I'm serious. Now then, another step. All right, let's go. See, I took it, so we got to take it. Let's go. Back up into Isaiah. Let's see here. How are we going to do this? Let's go to Jeremiah first. Let's go to Jeremiah. You notice the prophets I'm using since I've been here? Have you noticed? Ezekiel, Isaiah. Now look, Jeremiah. I'm talking about people that spent time in the sludge pits. You hearing me? They know how to worship God. Kept them in the pit. But you see, they was in the pit, but they didn't die. I got to believe it. I'm sorry. Y'all can go ahead and do what you got to do, but I'm going with it. Look here. All right. Let me see if I can do this. I just want to read a couple of verses to you. Where are they? All right. Jeremiah 50. Let's do this. I got something to do. I got something to do, and I want to try to do this. Look, this is good. I'm happy about this. Jeremiah 50, verse 1. The word that the Lord spoke concerning and against Babylon. See, Babylon is a type of the devil's life and lifestyle and so forth and so on, all that. It's against us. It's against us, secular. It hates us. You hear me? Babylon's trying to absorb us. Babylon is trying to, its tentacles coming and touching us. Every time we go to the church's chicken, the tentacles trying to get us. I just can't stand it a while like chicken. Walk in a chicken store and the tentacle trying to get us. And, I was down there getting a beignet and the devil just tried to make me mad, and he did a good job. The word that the Lord spoke concerning against Babylon and concerning against the land of the Chaldeans through Jeremiah the prophet. This is in the Amplified verse 2. Ready? Declare it. We have got a job. You and I are going to declare the word. Among the what? nations. And look what it says. And we're going to publish it. And we're going to set up a signal, a standard. We're going to set up the good news beacon everywhere we go. I was over there in Manchester, England, preaching to some Irish and Scottish pastors, and this Irish fellow interrupted me. God, I wish I could talk exactly like him. And he told me, he said, "Man, we got problems over here." I said, "Yeah, you do." He said, "You could not know. You couldn't know the problems." I said, "No. No, I don't know your problems. I just know what we got in Mexico. And they're way bigger than yours." But let me tell you what you got to be. You got to be a beacon. You got to be a publisher. You have to be a declarer. You cannot be gummed up with the secular and always loaded down with the circumstances. God's promised you that the Messiah's intervention, He'll blow that stream of His power through the Holy Ghost by you, driven by His breath. And you choose to be all gummed up with the secular and just tortured by hell. Don't. Stop it. Declare. Publish. Declare it among the nations and publish it. Set up a signal to spread the news. Publish it. Conceal it not. Say this. You say this with me. Say it. Say Babylon. Say it. Has been taken back. You quit being part of Babylon. The rabble collection of hell does not have the right to you. I set up an official beacon right here behind Brother Rod's pulpit. There. No, you can't move it because God's going to see to it that it stays. It is a beacon that hates the rabble. It publishes that Babylon has been taken. They can't beat us. I tell you, I told my men to pray that I'd stay sick. They didn't listen to me. That's a mistake. See? Now I'm going to tell you something. You pray that God don't use me in the Middle East. I bet you better. Because if the Holy Ghost lets me do what it looks like it's scheming up to be, you're going to have trouble. Because I'm pretty radical myself. What if we hook up these radicals in the right way? And what if the Holy Ghost links up the energy and power and puts the spirit in it, and the forces join and the collision of destiny? What if it is? I don't go in the, you know, Brother David, don't Brother David me. Don't do that. Ask my wife what that'll get you. Who's done me? Babylon has been taken. It's lying to you. It's deceiving you. It's keeping you off track. It's keeping you off vision. It's keeping you off course. It's a lie. Smoke screen. That's all it is. That's all it is. Baal, the patron god, is put to shame. Merodach, Baal, is dismayed and broken down. Babylon's images are put to shame. Her senseless idols are thrown down. Shiatane. There's places in history God set up beacons. He set up authority. And they won't be moved forever. Let me just shout in advance. Ah! Ah! Jeremiah 51, verse 10, 11, 12. The Lord has brought forth and made known the righteousness of our cause. I tell you, Brother Doug, I'm going into the A world, the B world, and the C world. And I will raise the dead in all three worlds. And I'll tell you right now, I'll do it for 6 cents a soul. See, I was there when Brother Ost, 32 years ago, showed that movie at Bethany and the masses. I was there. I fell in the floor and started weeping. He came off that platform and touched me on top of the head, and I've been at it ever since. I was at Brother Ted Haggard's church. And his administrator comes in. He says to me, you know, and which is, they're a large church, 15 or so thousand folks. And he says to me, Brother Hogan, he's very educated fellow. He walks through the room and the computers turn on by themselves. And he's a smart fellow. And serious. And he said something to me, Brother Hogan, and he meant it. But you got to be wise. He said to me, how much money do you want? And I looked over to him. You know, in my mind, I'm thinking, 8 or 9 zeros would be great. Put any number on the front of that and it'll be all right. You know what I told him, though? I said, you make it light on yourself. You'll never pay me what I'm worth. I got the Holy Ghost. And you can't pay for it. You don't have enough money. You ain't got enough equipment. You don't have enough of anything for what I've got. You hear me? God, it says it in my Bible, the Lord has brought forth and made known the righteousness of our cause. Come, let us declare in Zion the work of the Lord our God. Make clean, sharpen the arrows. I tell you, it's time to prepare for war. I know y'all have been at this a long time. Oh, quit crying to me. Little crybabies, let's do the job. Let's go. Come on. Come on. It's all right. Let's go. We can do it. Clean things up. Let's go. Ship shape. Let's go. Come on. Sharpen the arrows. Come on. Woo! Make clean and sharp the arrows. Take up the shields. Take up the coat of mail. Let's go. Come on now. There's a war. And we're constantly getting casualties and people are getting hurt and offended and quitting and backing off. I'm not. I'm going to stay. In the name of Jesus, by the mercy and grace of heaven, I'm staying. And I want you to also cover your bodies with them. The Lord has stirred up the spirit of kings. You listen to me, you kings and priests. I know that the Spirit of God's touched you in the last few days. I know that you know what's right to do. The Spirit of God's moving on the planet. What? kings of the Medes who, with the Persians, will destroy Babylon. I march with the Medes and Persians. I'm going to take Babylon down. Holy Ghost. I sharpen the arrows. I clean the male coats. I will plunder Babylon. Y'all are quieter tonight than you've been the whole time. That's okay. I'm excited for everybody. It's good. I got enough for everybody. I'm good. Verse 12, set up a standard. Set up a signal. Spread the news. See that verse 12? Spread them upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch and blockade strong. Set the guard. Prepare the ambushes. The Lord has both purposed and done that which He's spoken against the inhabitants of. The demons are coming down. They set up hordes against us when we first went to Mexico. They beat us. They abused us, cursed us, shot us, banged us. They killed our people. They put us in jail. And now then, let me tell you what God has done. God has given us the jail. The biggest, strongest jail in our area, the government just opened it up to us and gave us free space to come and preach to all the prisoners. And so far, we've got two villages, two new churches out of that in just four visits. Hello. Do the math. As oft as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me. Is that true or not? That's what the Word of God says. I'll go with that. Let's go. Where are we going? Do we know? We didn't say. Let's figure it out. Okay. Good. You're good. Let's go back over to Isaiah. Let's go to another prophet. One of these sawed in the log people. Holy Ghost. Got to figure this out now. I want to throw in a verse here that's really dangerous. It's a volatile bunch of stuff. I'm fixing to read to you. You can take it in lots of different ways. As many ways as there are people in here, you can take it that way. I just want to read it to you. Isaiah 50. Woo! You know who your biggest enemy is? You. It's not some great prince. It's not some big idol. You are your worst enemies. Isaiah knew it. I don't remember how many millenniums ago it was he was running around. Look here. It's Isaiah 50, verse 10 and 11. Who is among you who reverently fears the Lord? Me. If that's you, raise your hand. Just say it. Go ahead and pronounce it. Just say me. Who reverently fears the Lord?
Me.
That's right. Now we're in. See. Now we're committed. You see how we're committed? We're committed. Now watch what this is. Who obeys the voice of His servants? Me. Say me. Yet who walks in darkness? Uh-oh. Go ahead. Say it. It's true. There's deep trouble all around us. And our view is not on the Creator. It's not on the rushing wind. The standard is set. He's coming. It's driven by the wind of God's breath. But we look at the waves instead of Jesus. Not tonight. Who has no shining splendor in his heart? Go ahead. Let him rely on and trust and be confident in the name of the Lord. Let him lean on and be supported by his God. Look what this says. Behold, all you enemies of yourselves. Listen, we got to start making some quality decisions in the house of God. I'm not talking about self-centered, selfish, prideful decisions. I'm talking about decisions that advance the kingdom of God. Decisions that will forever go down in history as a good decision. Look what it says right here. Who attempt to kindle your own fire? See, I talk to people. How you doing? Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good, brother. I just look at them. I just wait for the smoke to clear. That was done with one of them, what do you call them black things we use to start a fire? Strike force. That'll all clear in a minute. And then I'm just sitting there with the same expression. Okay. Well, you said you what you're supposed to now. How can I help you? Move your self-made, man-made fire out of the way. Let's make ourselves vulnerable to the Holy Ghost. And let Him blow past us with the stream of God's mercy. Let His standard be our protection. Let the breath of the Lord God be our rearward guard. And work out all of our plans of salvation. Who surround and gird yourself with momentary sparks, darts, and firebrands that you yourself set aflame. All right, look, that trash is over, okay? We are going to, in a minute, come down here in a reality check here. Okay, Holy Ghost, if I'm a firebrand, if I've started this, if I'm the one with, it's okay to be emotional. Sorry to dance before the Lord with all your might. All those things are great. But when it comes down to misery and trouble and darkness and pain, it goes to Jesus. You never lean on the flesh. Ever. Ever. Look over here in 22:49-22. I had to put that in there. I had to say that. Because without that verse, the standard will be just another fad. I don't want any more. Listen, around me, I want people who are on fire because God lit them on fire. I can live with somebody being real around me. I don't like fake. Y'all got that figured out yet? I like real, man. I can live with you having a problem, but recognizing it and giving it to Jesus and working on it and without hiding it from me and acting like it ain't there. And you've got this man-made spark that you think is going to suffice for you. It won't impress anybody. That thing's dying out. It ain't backed by the wind of God. It won't blow. It won't gain ground. Verse 22, 49:22, Isaiah. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will lift up my hand to the Gentile nations. You see that? God's hand is extending right now. I've been out, y'all, I'm in the trenches. Y'all don't know this. But our ministry is growing at such a rate, internationally, that I had to make a decision. I had to make a decision, was I going to go into small churches? Or was I going to set a limit on the amount of people and then go only to those amount and above? And it's a problem because there's just not enough time. There's just not time to go to every house church. Can't do it. and the invitation sitting on my desk that I haven't gone to, and there's so many big old churches out there and things to do, and they're great opportunities. So I went to heaven about it. I said, all right, look, heaven, I don't know what the decisions are. I don't know what's right. Am I being selfish? What am I being? Am I being egotistical? I mean, what's going on here? So I sat down and I fasted for a month. And the Holy Ghost told me to stay with the grassroots that brought me to where I'm at right now. That's what the Holy Ghost told me to do, Brother Rock. Other people do their own decisions. That's their business, you know. So I don't ever ask anybody the size of the church or the amounts of money. I go because I pray and fast and go through the list and pull these things out. Don't know them. Don't know anything about them. I just go. That's the will of God for me. It don't make me a good person. It makes me an obedient person. It makes me a right person. Okay? And what other people do is between them and heaven. But for me, God has opened up the Gentile nations to me. And I'm going. But me and these men that are here, and the ones that are, there's still a whole slew of them down here in Mexico, we can't do this by ourselves. We need to league up. In Australia, there's a group of churches down there. There's 1,000 of them. They're giving us help. In New Zealand, there's 1,000 churches. In New Zealand, all the South Pacific Islands. There is revival in Tonga, Samoa, Fiji, the Solomon Islands. I'm going there in just a few months. And I was ordered to give a week in each place. Because these kings and presidents are passing laws to give us free stadiums and commanding the people to go there and get born again. Isn't that something? Yeah. That's, you know, that's stuff you ain't never heard of. You know, it's not 1040. It's not over there in the Middle East, nothing like that. It's out in the middle of a bunch of water. And they ain't but, you know, 500,000 of them, 600,000 of them, but they ain't born again. So they need to get born again. And they do grow pineapples, and I'm going to eat good. So, there. I will lift my hand to the Gentile nations and set up my standard and raise high my signal banner to the people. It is the will of God for you to realize that it's God's will. It is through history. His greatest prophets have prophesied it coming to pass. And it's happening. It's happening. Now, whether we the generation, I can see where my grandson might be. I don't know who he is. But I know that it's time to work. It's time for us, the body of Christ, groups of believers, to pull together, band together. I see it splintering, just like you do. I see it dividing, just like you do. It's sad to see when you, but you don't look at that. Don't go there. You dwell on it, you're part of it. Stay away from it. Look at this. God's Spirit will go to the Gentile nations. Be part of what the Spirit of God is expressly saying. I got to call you out. And it's not to slaughter, it's to, let's go to battle to slaughter the works of the enemy. In the name of Jesus. Great Holy Ghost. All right, get ready with them, with that CD, please. You about ready? Let's go, first let's go to Psalm 60. Psalms chapter 60. Y'all see me break away from the prophets? You got to know I'm almost finished then. I broke away from the prophets for a minute. Woo! Hey! Holy Ghost. What's a good thing for y'all, but I work out every day. Love. Out to help. I want to read this whole thing to you, but don't have time. I'm not going to. So in your own private time, please take 60, take it apart, take several versions of the Bible, get all your books, study this, please. Seriously, take your time with it. Well, we're just going to look at a couple of verses. Verse 4. Now, Psalm 64. 60, verse 4. But now you have set up a banner. For those who fear and worshiply revere you. I'll tell you, God has set us apart. You are chosen. You are special. You are different than the rest. When you're walking through the Walmart store, they all supposed to stop and look at you. They do me, don't they, Miss Hogan? I'll be walking down through there and they just stop and look at me. They're supposed to do that. Because I worshipfully fear and revere the Lord. They're supposed to know it. It says in my Bible, revere you to which they may flee from the bow. A standard displayed because of the truth. Holy Ghost! My freedom is the truth. We was down there in them quarters, this fella comes up with these really long blooms, start blowing them up. And he gave one of my daughters, one of my other daughters. I just get it. Then he got to Miss Hogan. She said, no. Well, that's where I have to step in, see? Because he is going to be smart with her. He can't. Sorry. I'll give you $2, but don't be smart to Miss Hogan, see? So I stepped between them. I put my back to him. And I opened up the muffalata. And I handed it to Miss Hogan. He said, hey, give me some of that. I never even turned around. I said, no. Only real people get this from me. You're not real. You don't believe what the demon did. He went berserko. I don't have to live with it. I'm sorry. I have to live with truth. Truth is freedom. I take care of Miss Hogan. I bless her. I got her a muffalata, buddy. Down at that store. What's the name of that store, Brother Ron? Central Grocery. Ho, 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 ho. See, God gives us a standard. I don't even have to worry about the demon. I got to look at Miss Hogan. I got to hand feed her. I got to bless her. I got to take care of her. It don't matter what the demon's doing. It matters what Jesus is doing. It don't matter how many of them stir up. It matters how I cheer up. The Holy Ghost is with us. The Holy Ghost is with us. And it's your choice. I've made mine. Now then, I'm going to show you something. This is my last verse for right now. But if you will, turn on that thing. I don't know what to call it, that disc. Y'all get ready to help me out. Jody, Sean, Jay, Jason, everybody, Brother Ron, Brother Philip, everybody. In Romans chapter 6, if you will, put up those pictures. I got some pictures I want to show you in the last couple of minutes I got. I don't set a whole lot of stock in going places, and with y'all taking the offering, it's already done. And so now I'm going to get you. You hear me? I'm going calculated to get you. Okay, kill us up light. I'll read this in a minute. Let's just look at this, if you will, this light right here. I want them to see that. I want them to see that. Cut that light off right there. Them pretty lights. Thank you, Brother Raymond. Miss Hogan, do you have some water? Por favor. I'm just going to take a minute. I don't have all them numbers he has. Tasca Mati Luis Alberto. What I got, I don't have the numbers. What I got is the people. That's it. You see that jungle? Say yes. That's my jungle. You hear me? I wonder if you listen to me. Stephen, see that jungle? It's my jungle, my brother. See them two men sitting on that tree? I led them to Jesus myself. See how they dressed? Old antiquado, 3,000-year-old dress. Wouldn't fit nothing, anything you know. But see what hat they got on? That's Rancho Libertad. That's Freedom Ranch. I gave that to them. Didn't I, Philip? You ordered it yourself, didn't you? Them men right there love Jesus. They won't never say a word. They just sit right there and wait. You know what they're waiting on? They're waiting on me and the elders to lift our hands and say, Cristo vive! Fuego de Dios! Jesus is alive. Fire of God! And then God slays them. Next, please. There we go. Now you're going to get me going now, see. Who are those boys up there? Those boys up there are pastors' sons that when I first went to Mexico, they weren't even born yet. Did you hear the statement? When I first went to Mexico, those boys, they're men. They weren't even born yet. But see, I stayed. I went and stayed. And they got born. Their daddies got born again, their mamas. And now their mamas and daddies gave them to me for preachers. They're missionaries, them people. We support them, this group of men. Y'all stand up, men. Ladies, too. See them people right there? See them? Yeah. Thank y'all. You don't see it in my newsletters to you. I don't whine and cry to you. But this is what I do. I do. I want you to know from me. Thank you for giving me money so I can preach the gospel. See, I'm not there tonight, but you know what? There's probably 40 or 50 church services tonight. Maybe 60, 70. Isn't that something? You know why? Because they know I'm coming back. And they want to, when I get there, say, Brother David, I got 5 new churches. Brother David, I got 3 new churches. I need you to go with me, Brother David. Brother David, can you go? Yeah, I'll go. See? And you and your hard work and the money you give us, and you trusting these men that are elders here, you giving it to us. This is third generation people on the mission field that you don't even know that you're supporting. I told Brother Rod the other day, first time he heard it, I just don't go out of my way to try to take money from you. He was right, you know. I go out of my way to pray and fast and seek God and let the Holy Ghost touch you. Because them boys need to feed. They all of them married. And them boys there preach, the fire of God comes. They raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out devils. You know how I know? I taught them myself. Some of the best. Next, please. Oh, now look what you've done. I see you in trouble now. What do you see up there? See a mom and a baby. Praise the Lord. You see them woods? Those are my woods. You understand that? That's my woods. God gave me them woods to preach the gospel. See that broken down shack? That's her house. You wouldn't put your dog there. She lives there. You know why she's happy? Stand up and tell him, Brother Jay. Come on, quick. Come on. She was dead 7 to 8 hours in a morgue in Tampico, Tamaulipas. That baby was dead in her womb for 12, 14 hours. In a morgue! We have doctors, what's it called? Death certificates from the government of Mexico saying that she's dead. The Holy Ghost went in that morgue and walked up to her and said three words, "Ni mits neke, I love you." And she got up off that steel mat. You know what? I heard about that. I went straight out there, didn't we? And I sat down in that little Indian chair. And I look at her. You know what she said to me? You don't know why I'm lit up? Huh? It ain't because there's plenty of chicken sandwiches at McDonald's tonight. It's because she got up. And that little baby came back to life in her womb. Brother Hogan, you too hard, you too controversial. Really? You got any pictures like this? You leave me alone. And you give me your money. And you give me your kids. And we're going to preach the gospel. And we're going to raise the dead. They, you know what she said to me? Here's what she said to me. She said to me this. Thank you. Now listen, after all of it said and done. And I'm standing there. And I'm to her, she never would ever have talked to me in her life, ever. Even born again, she wouldn't. You know what she said to me? Thank you for the gospel. Now I'm telling you, watch this, ready? Thank you for letting me go preach the gospel. Ha! The dove, she matters, my brother. You want to bet I can't get that baby to go with me and preach the gospel? You give me about 15 years. That baby will be in my hip pocket going to preach the gospel in some village that ain't never heard it before. Gah! Next, please. All right, there you go, see? What's happening there? You ought to see what happens in our baptisms. See what he's doing? He's coming out of there. He was saved, yeah, but he wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. He's coming out of there, started speaking in tongues, jumping and shouting. They come out healed. The majority of them get, as soon as they get in the water, the Holy Ghost hits them under the water and they drift off in the current. You have to take them out on, like a sack of taters. It's true, you know. Next, please. Look at them. This is what your money's buying. You want to know what your money's buying with me? There you are. You hear me? I am not ashamed or bashful to talk to you about money. Never have been. But see, I got this thing about having faith. I tell you right now, I do. But I just wanted to tell you thank you, but I'm going to tell you my way. This is my way. Let you see. Let you see them lined up getting baptized. Next, please. You see that right there? That's what you buy for us. Whose truck is that in the front? Whose is that truck? Sean's truck in the front. Who's in the back? Joseph's truck. My son's in the back. Bring people to church. That's what we do with the money. We put it in the truck so we can drive and go out there. He said, old man, see what you got is you got several generations. You got thousands of years old dress on the right. You got modern on the left. You see it? Hello. Next, please. What is that? Can't see it. Next. There you go. Remember what Brother Sean was telling you a while ago about that? People that had all them miscarriages and all that? There they are. There they are. Healed. Blessed. On their way to preach the gospel. No, we got a standard going, man. And it works. Next, please. There you are. There we are doing, fixing to do a baptism way up in the high mountains. That's way up. That's a new area. God just opened up for us. It's, how many churches have we got in there now? 25 churches in this area now. They're fixing to be baptized. Whole batch of new people. Freezing cold day. See it? Hello? Can you see it? You may not go. That's all right. Sin. I'll go. Next. Next. Too dark. Uh-oh, now look. Who is that? In the high mountains preaching. There it is, see? Next, please. All right, now so I can stand here the rest of my life talking about that man. See that old man on the right? You know who he is? He's my friend. He's the only man saved in his village and has been for years. They hate him. They hate me. They hate us all. But we're not bowing to him. You know where he's sitting? He's sitting where we started a church. When I was a younger man, we started a church there. How many years ago was it? 22? No, when we started that church there, quit calling names. I don't want to call a name. What all them people over there by? Anyway, we had a church. They came in, they killed all of our believers. They waited till it was all there. They thought they had me there. They missed me. They came in and killed every man, woman, and child in our church. Slaughtered them. You never heard about that, did you? CNN didn't report it, did they? No, but God's got it. There's blood on the ground. I'm going to have a revival. And you see that man right there? He's sitting in that village. His name's Philip. Isn't that right, Brother Philip? Yo tocayo. He loves me. He can't speak Spanish, this guy. He can't. But he can preach the gospel. Woo! That man got born again that day. He went and got baptized. Next, please. Who's them guys? They're sitting right out here. You guys in that picture, stand up. Let them see you. There you go. That's right. One more. Jody, stand up. What are you waiting on? You have a written invitation, airmail boy? I'm going to come back there. You see them? They're right here. They're right there. You see it? Hello. Do you see it? We're doing it. What we tell you we're doing it. And I'm here to tell you thank you. Keep going, please. Oh, look at there. How you get to church? Go. Oh, we ride a horse. We ride the 600s. You saw them four-wheel drives earlier. We walk. That's how we do it. Thank you, church, for letting us preach the gospel. You're part of the reason why we do. Thank you. Next. Look at there, another one. Very important. See, it's a different place, but look up the river. See the cows? That was cute, huh? Just nice touch, put the cows in there. Sean does that kind of stuff. Next. Look at there. Look at that full church. There's more people in that church than there are here tonight. Isn't that something? Why you got tarps up? How come you don't put a building up? Why don't you put a roof on there? That's a good question. Why don't you give me some money? I will put a roof up. See, I told you I'm not ashamed. But I ain't going to take no tokens either. I'm not going to sit here and twist on you and then all right, go ahead and take over, man. Let's do it again. No. It's not what we're into. I'm into decisions. I'm into the hour of decision here. I'm serious. God is blessing the Gentile nations. His hand is going forth. You see them? Look at them. Just 10 years ago, every one of the people were going to hell, all of them. But now, look at that. I got a giant building. Next, please. Holy Ghost. Oh, now see. There. See them two boys? There's three of them. And they call it trio. It's easy to figure out. Trio. Three. It's a group. Those boys, their daddy and I have been friends since before they were born. Their daddy was a black magic warlock that worshipped the devil. The reason he came and got born again was because he couldn't kill me. He tried for 3 years, did everything that worked on all the other people, but he couldn't kill us. And he came and asked me, why does your God have more power than mine? I said, sit right there just a minute, let me tell you. And he got born again. Holy Ghost! And now them boys right there, they're men. They got families and kids and everything else. They're the next generation. I just about got them where I can... Well, I can put them in my truck and take them to church. Went out to daddy's, just about. About got me another generation up. I'll get them. We got an army, buddy. Them guys right there start playing them fiddles and them guitarones and guitarras and all them things they got. See, they're getting ready right now. As soon as they start singing, the Holy Ghost fire falls into service. I can't let them sing till I'm ready for the Holy Ghost because the breath of heaven blows everybody down. You hear me? I wonder if you listen. Next, please. You see that right there? That's the reason why people leave us. It's beautiful, isn't it? Woo! What if you had to walk to the other side and get somebody born again? Oh, I wouldn't, Brother Hogan. I know. But I do. We do. Okay? And I'm not putting any pressure on you, negative at all. I want this to be positive. I want you to see there are thousands of valleys like that where we are that do not have the gospel. Next. Another baptism. Look at all of them. Yeah, you thought it was safe to be critical. Now look. It's not. Now then, we've got to go and make another decision. Holy Ghost. Just when we thought it was safe. Holy Ghost power. We can have these kind of works all over the world, Brother Doug. Brother Rod. It's possible. Next. Is that all of them? Okay, good. Lights. Let me read this and I'm quitting. Holy Ghost. So y'all got real quiet. All of a sudden reality's hitting home. I like it, don't you? Romans chapter 6 and verse 13. Do not continue offering and yielding your bodily members and faculties to sin as instruments, tools of wickedness. Amplified, Romans 6, 13. But offer and yield yourselves to God as though you had been raised from the dead to perpetual life. You see what's wrong with me? You understand that the Messiah has intervened for me? And I've got perpetual life in me? You get it? You get it? That's what it is. I think it's easy. All right, let me see if I can read this. Golly, I'm on fire. See, seeing them brothers like that, that's what I call them. They're my brothers. I'll be home soon. Oh, it's been a long run. I'll be back with them soon now. Just a few days, in Jesus' name. I'll be shouting, screaming, running, bucking, and snorting. For sin, verse 14, shall not any longer exert dominion over you. You hear me? Are you listening? We're free. We're free men. No, sir. Sin does not have dominion. I make no apologies. I speak freedom to you. I speak truth of the power, the mercy of the gospel to you. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost! There's got to be a reason God's raising the dead for us. There's got to be a reason. Something's right. You look at all the wrong. That's good. I'm all right. I'm good. I am. I'm okay. I can take correction. Help yourself. But let's also take the good, okay? There's a reason why the dead are raised. The standard's high. God's extending His hand to the nations. To the Gentile nations. Hallelujah. Verse 15. What then? Are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under God's favor and mercy? No way. Do you not know that if you continue surrendering yourselves to anyone, that if you continually surrender yourselves to anyone to do His will, you are the slaves of Him whom you obey. I'm talking New Testament gospel now. Hello. Pauline doctrines. Excuse me, let's drop the R. Pauline doctrines. I must be wanting a Pauline, Miss Hogan. I put an R in there. Any left? They gone, are they? We'll have to fix that problem more. All right. Whether to sin, which leads to death, or obedience. Whoa. There's that word again. Whoa. I went out of the prophets and got into the New Testament Pauline doctrines. And would you believe he's speaking obedience to the church? Well, I'll be. Several thousand years separate these two men. And it's the same message. Okay, let's keep going just for a second. This is over. It's so over. Verse 17. Here we go. Come on, Holy Ghost. Thank God. Though you were once slaves of sin, You have become obedient with all of your heart. To what? To what? To the standard of teaching in which you were instructed and to which you were committed. And have been set free from sin. You have become the servants of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in thought, purpose, and action. Will you please stand up? Tasukamat. Great Holy Ghost. How you doing, Brother Phil? Thank you. Stay with it, my brother. I so love Jesus. I so want to pray with you. Before this all gets going, I want to tell you thank you. Everybody. Whoever participated. We brought people in from a long way and we've had a good time. We're blessed. Everything's good. I'm not a long goodbye fella. I'll see you soon. That's it. I'll be back in Jesus' name. Now then, let's go to work. Woo! Some people like to sit down at Starbucks and cry for an hour. I'm not one of them people. There's another job to do, and I got to go do it. All right? We good? We good? All right. Holy Ghost. I'd just like for you to lift your hands up to heaven. The majority of the people in this room understand what I'm saying. You saw those pictures? Brother Rod, you know that's the first time I've ever shown any pictures in Ohio. I'm going to put together a really good demonstration. I'm going to send one around here to y'all. Y'all do what you want to with it. Holy Ghost. All right, you men that I've chosen to pray, y'all come up here and get in order. Holy Ghost is fixing to blast this house.